This podcast is very not safe for work. This episode of Friday Night Fan Fiction was originally published on the Nerdy Show Network.
Get that shit off his chest, that rolling brownout, or else he felt like he was gonna blow up.
What? Rolling? What?
Rolling brownout.
Oh, shit off his chest, I get it.
Yeah. You didn't get that?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh my god, you're terrible. Why am I married to you?
Because I get every other terrible thing.
Because they had to use the Beast Slayer on his cock when they circumcised him.
They just went. The rabbi stood up and said, L'chaim, I have the power!
No, I think it went the other way. He's like, L'chaim, L'chaim, how are we doing? We're doing a circumcision? Oh my god, look at that.
It's rolling out the door like a red coffin.
In a sweatshirt.
Oh god, can just read! Stop talking about my little Jew dick!
No, it's huge. It's colossal in size. I've had
no,
it in
no,
my
no.
Face
when
before.
I was born, it was not like.
You didn't even have to stand up.
No, full size at birth.
Full, yeah, it just, like, it rolled out.
The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge Hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Two terms.
Yes, I'm aware.
In case someone looks for either of the term.
Wait, what if it goes full term?
Oh, Steve, you're back. I have an important question.
Have a baby.
Wow, this is like legitimately important. What is it?
When a Jewish baby gets a circumcision,
do
they put a yarmulke on the dick?
No, not on the dick, on the head. Yarmulkes don't go on the dick.
You sure they don't make like a little
100% sure they don't. I have video evidence to prove it.
I would not want to watch that tape.
Well, no, I would very tastefully cover up any nudity with a gigantic head of Dom DeLuise.
It better be spinning.
Rotating or like
slowly spinning.
The like, picture of Einstein with his tongue sticking out.
No, that's
no, that's
too
racy.
Yeah. It's got to be Dom DeLuise Dom Prudhomme, the guy that puts his big old fat beardy
Dom
face
Perignon
on all the marinara sauce. Anyways, this is Friday Night Fan Fiction. We're not talking about circumcisions anymore, okay?
Thank God.
speaking of like gross stuff, you know what happened with my nail earlier?
Don't remind me.
What happened?
So I was helping Steve-O unpack. Like, we received two Amazon gifts, and one of them was Amazon Pantry. As I was trying to open the box, like forcing through the freaking special tape that they use, the nail on my middle finger flipped like a cap.
Oh, fun.
It didn't break. I was like, and I flipped it back, and Steve saw it, and he was like, oh my god, no.
Oh, just, I can't, because I've had that happen before, but with one of my toenails, and it didn't just flip up, it like lifted.
Yeah.
It was, we're alienating everybody from the show tonight.
I've had that happen
while I was wearing toe shoes in ballet, and when you have to keep dancing because you're on stage, that really hurts.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel your pain there, Val. That sucks.
Rather than try to get one of those things off, I'd probably just wrap a Band-Aid around it and just wait for it to fix itself. Just keep it immobilized.
Essentially what I did.
Whenever your nail moves, it's very, very painful.
As riveting as this conversation is, I think we should get down to business.
No, I feel like this is more interesting than the fic.
Yeah. Defeat the Huns!
Joining me tonight, as per usual, are David, Logan, and Val, and our guests tonight are Epicenter, otherwise known as Devin.
Hello.
And Mana!
Hi!
Also, why is there a picture of dildos hanging from a telephone wire in the chat?
Why not? But dildos instead.
Like,
it's the erotic version of Like Mike.
You mean the movie with Little Bow Wow?
Yeah, where he finds Michael Jordan.
Shit! Now, what was that movie, the preview for that awful horror movie that was like the blaxploitation horror?
Boys in the Hood?
Tales from the Hood. That's what it was.
Yeah, Tales from the Hood.
Fucking Tales from the Hood.
I've seen that movie.
It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's awful, yeah?
Yeah.
But it looks hilariously awful. Like, the effects and everything.
Yeah. Well, anyways, tonight we're going to be continuing. We're probably going to reach the halfway point, hopefully. Is it Pretending If I Already Want You by Oh Captain, My Captain? We're resuming at page 56. We're going to start tonight off with Devin.
Oh, God. All right, one moment. Let me just fill my cup up here. All right. Then the guy had asked for Steve's number, suggested maybe they go for a drink sometime. Once again, the blonde's gaze pivoted back to Bucky, and what the fuck had he expected Bucky to do about that? It's not like Bucky was his parent. Steve didn't require his permission, if that's what he was looking for whatever reason. What is he talking about?
Oh, right, they're going into some sort of backstory with Steve and Bucky and how Tony Stark caught Bucky looking at Steve very longingly or, like, flirting with I don't fucking know. It's Dawson's Creek, okay?
Yep.
Ugh. He'd been fuming and suddenly felt like decking this random loser in the nose. Except he'd known that the jealousy it stirred inside of him was unfounded, and the guy probably wasn't a loser. Chances are he was nice. But it wasn't like it would matter in the end. Though he never let Steve see it, Bucky found a reason to dislike any and every person Steve had ever gone out with during their friendship.
The jealousy monster! Oh no!
Oh no!
So many damn italics.
Yeah.
So Buddy had been staring at Steve, but Steve was looking to Bucky. Not knowing what to do, Bucky just shrugged and mumbled, "Don't need my blessing, Buddy. It's not like I'm your boyfriend."
I just imagine that one scene from Kung Pao where it's the zoom ins and outs of the opposing people.
It's like in a comic book when they make random words boldface.
Well, yeah, this is talking like netiquette talking. It's like you're talking to somebody on AOL Instant Messenger in the late 90s. So you could get my inflection!
Then he'd glanced to the stranger and wedged his foot even further into the back of his throat by clarifying, "I'm not his boyfriend." Wedged his foot into the back of his throat?
Yeah,
foot and mouth.
I mean, his foot is a delicious wedge of cheese. That's what I'm taking out of this.
Mm. I sort of figured, the guy chuckled back, and wow, that'd sort of been a douche thing to say. What if Bucky had been his boyfriend? What the fuck had been wrong with him that this asshole just automatically assumed they weren't together? Bucky remembers thinking, fuck that, this guy's a fucking loser. Then he proceeds to daydream, punching him in the nose again. The absolute worst part had been the fraction of a second when something akin to frustration seemed to flash over Steve's face. Then it was gone in the blink of an eye, and Steve threw on another polite smile and replied, "Yeah, sure, why not, right? Hold on, let me grab my phone."
As Devin goes to get his actual phone.
This is riveting.
I know.
They'd exchange numbers, Bucky's back to them, then as he'd glared daggers at the back of the innocent person's head who stood between him and ordering their drinks.
Have you ever felt this way about anybody? Has anybody here ever felt that way about somebody?
About what? Felt what way?
Like, yeah. You feel so attracted to somebody that you immediately hate any and everybody who has had, or has, or ever will have, a kind of attraction towards that person?
No.
Sounds very unhealthy.
Yeah, that's what's being described. This is a legitimate problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna need therapy.
We're all
they'd exchange numbers. Bucky's back to them and see. Oh wait, I already read that part. Sorry. When he heard Buddy chuckle, then say, "Mind if I add you to Facebook? I can't believe we never added each other before. I literally see you in class all the time." Bucky had made a disgusted face and childishly mouthed, "I literally see you all the time.
I literally see you all the time."
Then he shook his head and scoffed, only to throw on a cheery smile when it was finally his turn to tell the barista what they'd wanted. It was only afterwards, when they'd been walking around on campus, sipping from their coffees, that Steve had jokingly said that he thought maybe Bucky would have saved the day and told the random classmate that Steve was taken, since Steve didn't really feel in the mood for dating till exams were over, at least. This sounds like a really weird accent. Had Bucky not been a complete idiot, capable of picking up on the most obvious cues, his little family vacation with Steve would have actually been the second time they pretended to be boyfriends. Instead, he totally missed this chance. For the record, Steve actually wound up having a great time, and Bucky once again acted like he didn't feel like his guts were being ripped out when he found out they started dating a few weeks later. Steve and Peter Parker were together for 7.5 months after then, and Bucky had a rash lips about the guy for every goddamn second, and then Peter actually did
should only be taken rectally. Consult a doctor if inflammation doesn't go down after 3 weeks.
That's
what I took out of your ending there. It's like when they speed up the voices at the end of a hemorrhoids commercial.
Well, it's a parenthetical, so I wanted to get back to the meat of the riveting emotional exchange.
Speaking of meat, the meat lover is up next, Mr. David.
The effeminate cupboard man.
Dave.
Yo.
Your turn.
Is it now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Where's the link to the thing?
I posted it and said, David, I posted
chat,
it for
like
you!
It always is, David.
Which chat? There's like four of them.
57.
There's only what I was saying.
Where is it always posted to?
I don't know where it's posted to.
I'll post it! Okay, you know what? I am going to send you...
NSFW, I think.
Compose to Brushfire's email. I've sent you a link to the Google Doc as a permanent email so you can no longer ask that question.
You still ask that question every week.
God damn it!
Every week.
No!
But we're on P57, so it's cool. Right after the incident where Steve gave away his number, though that had been the catalyst for Bucky to storm straight to Natasha's and voice his confession out loud for the first time ever. Steve had class. Bucky didn't. Fuck it. Not for a few hours or a few more hours. Fuck. He just needed to vent and get that shit off his chest, that rolling brownout, or else he felt like he was gonna blow up.
What? Rolling? What?
Rolling brownout.
Oh, shit off his chest. I get it.
Yeah. Did he get that?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh my god, you're terrible. Why am I married to you?
Because I get every other terrible thing.
Because they had to use the Beast Slayer on his cock when they circumcised him.
They just went. The rabbi stood up and said, "L'chaim, I have the power."
No, I think it went the other way. He's like, "Oh, hi, L'chaim. How we doing? We're doing a circumcision. Oh my God, look at that!
It's rolling out the door like a red coffin.
In a sweatshirt.
Oh God, can just read." Stop talking about my little Jew dick!
No, it's huge. It's colossal in size. I've had
no,
it in
no.
my face.
When I was born, it was not like.
You didn't even have to stand up.
No, full size at birth.
Full, yeah, it just, like, it rolled out.
Oh my, and then that fucking monkey boy from South Park?
Yes.
I am Gopher Boy, pondering reality.
Dave Reed!
So, yeah. I like Steve, was their greeting. Nice to see you too, Bucky. Sam had jokingly said from his chair, a tiny amused smile on his face. Bucky jumped and looked horrified when he realized that Sam had heard that too. But then he just threw up his hands in the air and kept shouting like he just didn't care. No, you know what? I don't fucking care. You can hear it too. I like Steve Rogers. I like Steve. Then the words and their full weight did that annoying thing where it had hit him. Again, he'd lost his steam as quickly as it came, failing to call tech support and get Gabe Newell on the line. Face falling, going desolate as he fell into Natasha's bed and stared at the ground.
Hi, Steve,
he repeated miserably. much quieter this time.
I think I've liked him since the second I ever saw him.
The next thing you know, Jim Carrey busts in, just goes, Einhorn is Finkel! Finkel is Einhorn!
Is Einhorn!
That's an Ace Ventura reference for the kids who are too young to know that.
Oh my god, there are kids who are too young to know that.
I know, right?
Oh, that hurts!
I'm not too young to know it, I just don't like Ace Ventura.
Bucky couldn't tell which had been more frustrating. The fact that he was feeling that way at all, or the fact that neither Natasha nor Sam were even remotely surprised. Yeah, we know, Natasha said simply. One could say bluntly, for that was Natasha Romanoff all over. After all, straight to the point, and never sugarcoating it, but there had been a hint of care in her tone, too. As if the rest of the that sentence was an unspoken,
do you want to talk about it?
You both knew? Bucky had croaked weakly, groaning. His head fell into his hands. Natasha patted his shoulder while Sam shuffled his chair up closer to them. Logan, give me a shoulder pat.
Pat, pat, pat.
Very, very good. Yeah, basically, Sam said. For how long? Since the first time I met Steve and saw you two together, Natasha had answered, having been friends with Bucky before Steve. And for me, since the first time I met you, Sam added, the situation having been the opposite for him. That long? Bucky
I
explained.
Knew I loved you before I met you.
Is that a 98 Degrees song?
No, I think it's Savage Garden. It's when they really started.
It's Savage Garden.
Right, surprisingly enough, this is not the first time we've talked about 98
that's
Degrees
from
today.
Their first album.
Was that Savage Degrees?
Didn't they make that?
98 Gardens.
Was that Backstreet
Gardens?
Oh, didn't 98 Degrees make that shitty graduation song that now, like, every single graduation has to play?
No, that was Eve Six.
No, that was Vitamin C.
Oh. My sister made a petition in high school for them not to play the song, but it was futile.
Here's to the nights we felt alive.
Also,
you know, that didn't play that at my high school. I don't know what you're talking about.
On that one from New Year's, why would you want to forget all your acquaintances?
I hate my friends.
You forget old acquaintances, not old acquaintances.
No, I thought it was. That's what I said. All acquaintances.
No, it's old.
Old means
should
old
acquaintance be forgot
A-L-D.
And never brought.
We've
to
had
mind.
This discussion. A-L-D. We've had this exact discussion A-L-D. On the show.
Is that even a word? Old?
Yes. Yes,
it's an old
it
word.
An old English word. All right.
All right. Oh,
I'm gonna
have
to look
I just
that
got
up,
an email from level 99. Deleted.
Oh,
I'm
fuck you!
Sure.
If I remember correctly, old means old.
Well,
it
I
does,
searched for
yes.
it, and I found adrenoleukodystrophy, ALD, a group of genetic disorders that cause damage to the myelin sheath of brain nerve fibers.
All right.
A-U-L-D, Devin.
Yeah.
A is for apple, U is for you, L is for loser.
D is for David, please read!
Oh, owled? Now it's owled?
Oh, my God!
Okay, Mom is saying we gotta move on, so...
All right, owled, Scottish form of old.
Yeah, it fucking means old, so shut up.
Auld Lang Syne.
Oh my god, get the Tic Tacs out of my ears!
What actually, it's a water bottle.
What the fuck is that?
It's just a like water bottle. Devin, shut up for a second. To give you a little background, right now in Richmond County, Georgia, there is a water advisory, so you have to boil your water, so we have to drink bottled water right now.
Wait, did somebody beat what? Off in the water supply?
Probably.
No, it's just like when the water becomes lower than a certain degree.
An overabundance
bacteria.
Of three-eyed fish are seen around the radioactive plant.
I'd like to think our water was contaminated with strychnine and we talked about it on CNN.
That long?
Bucky exclaimed. He probably could have cried at that point if his body hadn't been so busy burning up and blushing scarlet.
The fuck, guys? Why didn't either of you tell me I was being so fucking transparent?
If it's any consolation, I don't think Steve's ever caught on, Sam said, trying to be reassuring.
Son of a Cossack.
Why is Sam Russian?
I don't know, dude.
Natasha is Russian, not
Kazin!
Yeah, I doubt he even noticed. Wow, thanks for that, Tasha, Bucky had muttered, dropping his head down again. Sorry, you know that's not what they meant, she said, now rubbing circles on his back. I just meant he's never acted strange around, right? Steve's pretty perceptive. He had caught on, he would have said something by now, don't you think?
Yeah, don't you think he would have, you know, sucked
you
your
know,
dick by
Dave,
now?
I actually like Sam being the, like, Russian, Ukrainian, Croatian, and Natasha being, you know, down from the Bronx.
Moose and Squirrel.
I don't remember who Sam is. Is that Falcon?
Yes, Sam is Falcon.
Okay, cool.
All right, Manny, you're up.
Manny!
All right.
Did someone just fart?
I think I'm suddenly sitting down.
Oh, okay. That's cool, too.
It might have been me pushing a cat off my lap. I don't know.
See, I told you girls fart kittens.
I thought it was rainbows and flower petals.
No, they pee rainbows and poop flower petals.
Ew.
I don't do cats any of those things.
Good on ya.
I don't know, Bucky sighed. Or he could have just never said nothing because he wouldn't want to hurt my feelings and ruin our friendship. Lifting his head and giving them a pleading look, he then said, tell me he doesn't know, that I'm just being stupid and paranoid, and Steve doesn't know about this, please? The glance they'd exchanged didn't make Bucky feel overly reassured or hardly any better. Though it sort of did when Natasha had eventually answered, I'm sure he doesn't know, yeah. He would have said something if he did, Sam added. And he wouldn't. What? Oh, Logan coughing. Okay.
Don't die.
Don't die, Logan. And he wouldn't let it ruin your friendship if he ever did know. Natasha finished, sounding a little more like a protective mother hen at that. They'd sounded sincere enough that Bucky could believe them. Still, he'd asked. Had to make sure. You two ain't ever gonna tell him about this, right? No, of course not, Bucky. You swear? Bucky had pressed. That had Natasha rolling her eyes affectionately and grabbing her pillow to swat him upside the back of the head. Bucky had made a sound of surprise, but couldn't help but smile. Snap out of it, James, the redhead ordered. We're all stressed out enough as it is right now with finals coming up. You don't need to be freaking yourself out anymore about stuff that's not there. Yeah, man, we're not gonna say anything, Sam had promised, smiling that friendly smile Bucky's way. And it helped relax the knot in his stomach a little bit. Steve's never gonna find out unless it's cause you tell him. Okay, yeah. Okay, you're right, Bucky said, trying to force himself to stay positive. He remembers that being a lot easier said than done. Yeah, I'm just being a stupid prick. Overreacted. It'll be fine. You think it'd be cool if we, you know, like, forget this whole conversation ever happened, maybe?
I don't remember any of this happening.
Thought he was gonna say, is it alright if we fuck?
No, unfortunately we are not that lucky. Lucky Bucky.
I was about to say that!
I sort of feel humiliated enough to last a lifetime. Once is good enough for me. What conversation, Sam had thankfully joked. I've already forgotten every word you just said. Why are you even here? Chuckling anxiously, he let Natasha grip the back of his neck and pull him into a quick sort of embrace to show that she cared. When she backed off, Sam had hopped to his feet and clapped his hands together, suggesting that... Thank you. Suggesting that the three of them find a way to squeeze onto Natasha's single bed and watch a movie on her laptop.
I'm getting flashbacks to the dorm. Oh.
Bucky remembers having been willing to do anything at that point to move on from what had just happened, so he was only too eager to say yes. When Sam briefly left to go make a bowl of popcorn using the microwave in one of the dorm kitchens, Bucky decided to bring up the conversation one last time. Just one more, and then he was going to drop it forever. If he had to, he'd even deny in the future that it had ever happened in the first place.
If only we could do that with parts of this story.
I thought maybe he made the popcorn on one of those Jiffy Pop things on the stove, and I was on the edge of my seat till they said microwave.
Eyes cast down to his hands ringing nervously in his lap, Bucky has quietly said, Natasha, from the corner of his eyes. He'd seen her turn her head to look at him, saying nothing but waiting patiently for him to ask what was clearly on his mind. I'm not going to get this right. These feelings.
You skipped the word.
You've shamed your entire family, Steve.
Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
Hey, you leave my cow alone.
I'm not gonna get over this, right? These feelings, or whatever they are, they don't mean nothing, right? This isn't love. I'm not, you know, in love with him or anything. You think I'll get over this, don't you? Bucky remembers it unnerving him that, though her face was a perfect neutral mask, something in her eyes hadn't seemed as confident when she answered.
Love is for children. Love like that, anyways. It's just a fairy tale, James. Yeah, don't worry, you'll get over it.
Such wise words. For some reason, it had felt a lot more like that time... shit. This author, like, words it backwards from what my natural inclination is. It's really irritating. For some reason, it had felt a lot more like... Damn it!
Nope. Still didn't get it.
For some reason, it had felt a lot more that time-like. She was just telling Bucky what he'd wanted to hear. Tuesday morning, Bucky wakes up before Steve. The night before, after the whole kiss incident, had been uncomfortable, to say the least. After keeping himself locked away in the bathroom for almost a half an hour to take a really big dump, his dad actually had to use it, and out Bucky went. The second Mark got a look at his face, eyes red and cheeks looking like Bucky had been trying to scrub any and all evidence away, he'd faltered in his step. But Mark and Bucky have a certain kind of relationship. Always have. In fact, he's sort of a blessed relief compared to everyone else. That was a weird way to say it. Namely because aside from the outcome, and he really doesn't like to pry... Shit!
No.
He really doesn't pry into Bucky's life. Sometimes he actually tries to steer Annie away from prying if he feels Bucky needs a break from it. He always knows when something's troubling Bucky, but he lets Bucky come forward about it on his own time if he chooses to at all. I just want to burn through this.
Bucky.
Alan. Truthfully, and Bucky knows this, most of the reason why he prefers his dad's approach is because it makes it easier to keep pretending that everything's okay, because everything is okay. Sometimes it makes him feel bad. His mom has all the best intentions, but she can try too hard. His dad, on the other hand, tries the passive approach with the best intentions, but it's also not enough. Neither option actually makes Bucky open up, but that's not their fault. They only raised him. It's not their fault their kid screwed up. It's just them being bad parents. Bucky's wished, on more nights than he can count, that he could tell them everything he's felt in the last 6 years. But the longer he distances himself from it, the harder it is to want to talk about it. It just means there's more shit that's piled on that he'd then have to face. At the moment, it always seems easier for Bucky to push it all down and convince himself that he's fine. He can do everything on his own.
I can make it on my own. I'm little brother. I got a strong one leg.
Little brother.
Wobble, 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 plop.
He's a special little guy. Oh, shit.
He's such a little trooper.
He's got the heart of a champion.
So, Steve, when are you going to adopt little brother?
I have two dogs already. Do you want me to just cut, like, three of their legs off?
Yeah.
Not happening.
Seems economical.
Then there's less dog to feed.
That's not how it works, I think.
There's six legs left.
I don't know. Technically speaking, there might be less dog to feed.
Okay, moving on. But when he'd seen his dad's unexpected surprise at the state of Bucky's face, and Bucky could see right through him, that all Mark wanted to do... Wait, is the author left-handing right now? In the middle of the boring segment?
Yes.
Wow.
That's why they write them so long, because they get off on them.
He's turned on by aggressive boredom.
Fuck, that is the most accurate assessment of this story I have heard yet. That all Mark wanted to do was break his rule and take a page from his wife's book, ask Bucky outright if he was okay, and to tell him what was wrong. Bucky, too, almost let himself slip. For a split second, something happened, but then nothing happened, and the story is just going to continue. He just about crumpled and walked straight in for a hug so he could rest his head on his dad's shoulder and let himself be held while he reverted back to a child, a boy who just needed his father, and cried until he got it all out.
Wow.
Logan.
Boy. Neither of them acted on their impulses. Mark's mouth had twitched, and Bucky panicked, worried that something along those lines was about to happen. And so he just threw on a forced smile and apologized for hogging the bathroom for so long.
I really wish he'd stop saying "threw on." It's like every single time.
He knew his dad didn't believe him, because when he deliberately asked how Bucky's stomach was feeling, guess Steve did as Bucky asked and covered for him, and Bucky replied that it was a little better, all Mark did was hum. He watched Bucky with consideration and a frown to match, and then hesitated. Bucky just turned his head back downstairs, saying over his shoulder, "It'll be all better by morning, I'm sure. Don't worry about me." Then Bucky straddled a line between too talkative and too quiet for the rest of the night, never fully acting like himself, until he decided he just wanted to go to bed. Steve had stayed downstairs and hung out a bit more with his family. But all the same, Bucky was still awake by the time Steve finally came quietly into the room and went to blow up the air mattress. Bucky couldn't have fallen asleep if he tried. Until he finally managed to fall asleep, Bucky's entire body had been tense from the moment Steve entered the room. He pretended to be sleeping when he heard and then felt his best friend approach his bed, lean over slightly to see his face, whispered, "Bucky?" But Bucky just forced himself to be as still and convincing as possible. After a few seconds, Steve had sighed and lied down on his spot on the floor. Only then could Bucky open his eyes again, and he stared at one lone spot on the wall across from him for what felt like hours.
He's seriously making every wrong decision in this dating sim.
Yep.
There's no dating sim, because there is no sex at the end.
There is sex.
It's a simulator.
There isn't. You can't prove it because we haven't hit it yet.
Oh, I'll hit it.
I need gum.
Despite only getting maybe 4 hours of sleep, Bucky's up now at the crack of dawn. Carefully, he gets out of bed, fishes his phone from the spot in the closet where Steve told him he'd hidden it, and then tiptoes out of the room. The cottage feels different when everyone else is still sleeping. In a way, the silence is relaxing. He can still know that the people he loves are with him, but his favorite place in the world can be his own for just a little bit. After making himself a cup of coffee, he goes barefoot outside and makes his way down to the dock. The water is clear and the air is already warm, with just the perfect breeze. Today's going to be a scorcher from the feel of it, so Bucky's glad he can enjoy his idea of the perfect kind of weather while the world is still peaceful. Gives him the chance to do some proper thinking without any distractions. He sits down at the edge of the wooden dock, crossing his legs and laying his coffee cup, pack of smokes, and his lighter to his side. After lighting one up, he sneaks a glance behind him to make sure he's still alone, and then turns on his iPhone. He isn't sure who to text first, so he goes with the first name that comes to mind and shoots a quick message to Sam. He won't lay this all on him at the moment, since he does have some exams this week. He's just going to open the door to casual conversation. He's sure that after he talks to Natasha, Sam will probably hear all about it anyways. This time, he's actually glad of it. Makes one less person he needs.
Please stop dying. I need you to live through this.
Never.
I'm dying out of protest for this terrible story.
He just
makes one less person he needs to sound like a jackass to. Hey, Wilson. Hope your finals go well this week. Kick some ass. Vacation's going all right.
I imagine he's texting the volleyball from Castaway. He's texting.
But looking forward to being back home. Coffee next week?
All right, circling back around to Devin.
He hits send, then he's immediately calling Natasha. It's not even 6 a.m. yet, so he feels a little bad when she picks up, and it's no surprise that he's woken her up. She groans and then bypasses any greetings with, "Do you have any idea what time it is, James?" "Yeah, I know, Tasha. I'm sorry," Bucky says genuinely. "It's my day off. Days off are meant for sleeping in." "I'm sorry," he says again. "You know I wouldn't have called if it wasn't an emergency."
There's nothing in this story qualifies as an emergency in any way, shape, or form.
Yes, it's all very unexciting.
The lack of excitement is one.
There's a pause on the other line, and then she asks, "What time is it even?" "I think almost 6. Another groan, "Why the hell are you even up?" "Up? Aren't you on vacation? If you've been getting up at the ass crack of dawn every day to go to work, Steve and I are going to have a very serious conversation." Oh, to do work. Fuck.
What?
Goodbye.
Work. "Steve and I are going to have a very serious conversation when you two get back. I may have to get him to kick your ass, and then kick his ass for letting you do that."
All the Bucky asses will be kicked.
Taking a few drags from his smoke while she talks, before exhaling and then telling her, "Steve's the reason I'm calling." Silence. Natasha's a smart girl and puts two and two together quickly, so when she speaks again, her voice is clearer and more awake. Bucky imagines she's just gotten out of bed and is given in to the fact that she won't be going back to bed for a while now. "All right, I'm listening," she says. "Is everything okay? You just said it was an emergency." "Yeah," Bucky says automatically. He catches himself. "No, I mean, no, not overly. It is and it isn't. I don't know how to explain what's going on."
Take a breath. Imagine, "Hey, how you doing?
Real
I'm doing okay.
Air.
How are you doing?" "Well, that's a very complicated question. I mean, are you genuinely asking me how I'm doing in general or how I'm doing in life or..." "Oh my God, just shut the fuck up, character! Please continue." So,
"Yeah," Bucky says automatically. He catches himself. "I mean, no, not overly. It is and it isn't. I don't know how to explain what's going on. Take a breath of real air, James. Not those fucking cancer sticks you're always sucking on. Tell me what happened," she says, her voice already getting that protective edge again. Tasha can be brutally honest, sometimes to a fault, but she's also an incredible shoulder to lean on, if ever he needs one. She's almost as good of an ear as Steve is. So Bucky takes his breath, lets it out slowly, puts it behind him again, and tells her everything. He tries to be painstakingly thorough, sometimes going back and filling in any blanks he might have missed. Walking her through the last 4 days, he starts in the moment they'd arrived at the cottage, talks about every single thing that has gone on between him and Steve, running up her cell phone bill like crazy, every comment that had been made, the confusion he's felt, the thing with the kiss, and how Bucky reacted to it. The very first thing she says after Bucky finishes, and she asks him if he's all right, is to say, "I seriously don't understand how someone can be so oblivious." Bucky assumes she's referring to Steve somehow, but when he goes to answer, he gets as far as replying, "I don't know, Natasha, he's just..." And then she cuts him off. "I was referring to you." "What?" Bucky replies, thrown off. "Never mind the fact that you actually lived through everything you just told me. How can you possibly relay it all back to me? Like you did, just did, and completely overlook what's very clearly staring you right in the face."
Steve's cock!
If only... Would be
that would be a break in the monotony, yes. Oh, look, cock happened.
All right, moving on. I believe it's David's turn. Oh, I'm so glad we edited this.
Out of the sparkly water, running a hand through his hair before reaching out to grab another cigarette. He says, "Okay, seriously, I have absolutely no idea what you're even talking about. Like, I don't." Natasha sighs at the other end. "He likes you, James." She then says, "Steve likes you! Now that I mention it, a lot of things in the past 5 years suddenly make a lot more sense! Steve does not like me, Natasha!" Bucky argues, face flaring and suddenly feeling a weird combination of hopeful and stung. "Oh no! Well, James, come on! The way he talked about you to your family on that first day, the story he told about meeting you, and knowing from the second he saw your smile, that seriously doesn't ring any bells for you! He was just doing what he thought he came here to do," Bucky insists. "What else was he supposed to say? Oh, there never really actually was a moment like that for me because none of this is real and I'm not actually dating your son."
All right, tone it down a little bit from "I'm on top of the Himalayas."
Okay.
"Okay, well, about the night we
walked..." Oh my, okay. Go subterranean on me, please.
I have to go to subterranean mode.
Do 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 do.
All right, nobody say anything.
"Okay, well, what about the night he woke you up from your nightmare, calling you baby, being that touchy with you, rubbing your back until you fell asleep? Those are the kinds of things you actually do with someone you're dating. They're not the stuff you do with platonic friends." She retaliates. "Unless you can recall a time when you had Stark or Clinton or someone rub your back for you until you fell asleep."
"Well, now that you mention it."
"I know I've certainly never done that for you before."
"Okay.
Okay.
He was just being a good friend."
"Oh, no, no."
"I like it."
He was still playing the part.
"For what audience, James? Steve never had an obligation to act a certain way around you once you two were alone, but he did it anyways. You're telling me that that doesn't tell you a few things?"
Crap.
That's a frustrated sound. Okay.
Bucky makes a frustrated sound. It was that burp. Yeah. So edit, Steve, edit in the burp again right there.
Nope.
And almost hurls his phone into the water. Instead, he just rubs his eyes and shakes his head again uselessly, even though no one's around to see it. Grabbing his coffee cup, he down half of it and replies,
"You weren't there! You don't understand!
You haven't seen what I've seen, man."
"It sounds like despite you being there, you don't seem to understand either. And, okay, please give me your justification for him sticking your phone down his shorts and then telling you not to, or telling you to go and get it, because that sounded suggestive as fuck to me. I'm pretty much 99% sure that had your sister not interrupted you guys, he was going to make a move and kiss you."
Maybe this conversation...
Do, 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 do.
Maybe this conversation was a bad idea. The problem is
channeling
saying comes from a logical place. And also from a supportive one to Bucky knows that she's just trying to help steer Bucky in a direction to see something that she believes him
to. This was a terrible idea.
Okay, it didn't meter out in the last part, but it was pretty good for the most part.
Right? I appreciate the effort.
She believes him blind to. Something that she believes him blind to. Him blind to. Him blind to.
Him.
Him blind to. Him fucking blind to.
Him blind to.
Blind to.
But they're also both hotheads, and a disagreement usually escalates into harmless bickering between them. Natasha's trying to help. But right now, Bucky feels she's actually doing more harm than good because he doesn't have an explanation for that one. But all his mind keeps trying to tell him is, she wasn't there! She wasn't there! She doesn't understand! And there had to have been another reason because Stan doesn't like you like that. If he did, you would have known by now.
I'm so glad when I wrote the story, I changed the name David to Bucky, lest David find out that I wrote this about him.
Stan doesn't understand about David! They can never be together. They're star-crossed lovers.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances?
On the wings of our dreams.
You have a nice voice, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, what are her words doing to him? They're planting the seed of doubt. They're giving Bucky false hope.
Seed.
Very dangerous things.
Mana, it's your turn.
Mana!
Yay!
Bucky suddenly doesn't want to be talking about this anymore. He needed to get it off his chest and talk through his feelings with someone he trusts who's already in on his secret. But what exactly had he expected her to say? This isn't making him feel much better, but the alternative? Her listening and then telling him that he is right for feeling better? Blah, blah, blah. I fucked up. Okay. Her listening and then telling him that he is right for feeling stupid and rubbing in the fact that she knows Steve doesn't care about him in that way either, that would have hurt even more. In retrospect, it was sort of an unfair place to put Natasha into, as well as a lose-lose for Bucky. You still there? She asks, cutting into his thought.
No, good night, we're done.
No, no, no. Oh, fuck. You made me lose my place, Steve-o.
Woohoo!
We're not done. Her tone is a bit gentler now. James, I'm not telling you any of this to upset you. I just know how in your own head you get sometimes. There's a situation working out in your favor right in front of you, but you're not letting yourself see it. I think I don't want to talk about this anymore, Bucky says, sighing. I'm sorry for throwing all this shit onto you, and I appreciate you trying to help, but I don't want to talk about it anymore, please. All right, she says, after a small pause. Before we do, though, can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer. Although, I feel like by not answering, you're still sort of answering. What is it, Tasha? Are you in love with him? That shuts Bucky right up. This time, Natasha doesn't press him to give his answer any quicker. He stays silent for almost a minute, while his hand holding the cigarette starts to shake a little, and he tries to keep calm while he finishes burning.
I'm getting the shakes. I need another hit, man.
Saying it out loud makes it too real. Bucky promised himself he wouldn't make that mistake, and inside he knows he's failed. But admitting it out loud seems to feel so much worse.
I really want to go into Max Payne and replace the entire game's dialogue with this to see if that makes it any better.
It won't.
Damn it.
It won't.
No.
Yeah, they're great games, just the dialogue is way too many metaphors.
When he finally answers, he tries to deflect it. I thought you told me once that love was for children. And it was over 3 years ago that I told you that, so what does that tell you? She remarks. Besides, you know my views on the whole thing aren't the same anymore. Bucky knows that, yes. She and Clint have been dating for the last 2 years, and it's more than obvious that they're crazy about each other. Even if Natasha shows it in a more controlled, subdued way sometimes. I know, Bucky bites his lip anxiously. And I think I do. About Steve, I mean. I love him. There, he said it. It's out in the open now. God, how can something feel like a gigantic weight off his shoulders while also feeling like more weight at the exact same time? I knew you were. Of course. You just wanted to hear me say it? Bucky asks flatly. Was that really necessary? No, she tells him. I think you needed to hear yourself say it, because I'm betting that you hadn't yet. Bucky's shoulders sag. Any advice, then? He tries to joke weakly.
Well, honestly, I think you might be in the wrong business here, Burns, she tells him. Because trying to ignore your feelings and pretend them away hasn't really worked out for you so far. You're totally a romantic at heart. Oh, just like me and Marzipan. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be holding on to whatever it is that's made you hold on to Steve for the last 5 years. So you want my advice?
Will I regret asking for it?
Probably. But I'm gonna ask it anyways. I mean, give it anyways. I get English mixed up sometimes. She takes a quick pause. And then tells him, the approach you've been trying to take all the way up until now is not working. I mean, I know it's surprising. Maybe it's time to try a different tactic. I think Coach Z can give you a couple of those.
Oh, God.
If your feelings aren't going to go away, and trying to ignore that they exist hasn't done anything for you, maybe what you need to do now is face them. You'd be surprised at what you might find.
Might be.
Whatever. And some good melonade.
If I tell you I'll think about it, can we change the topic now?
Good enough for me, she concedes, and Bucky breathes a small sigh of relief. He asks her to fill him in. Ooh, this is kinky. Damn it, I lost my place.
Nerd.
You get out of here, Twogdoll. Nobody asks you to do any boninating. He asks her to fill him in now on what's been going on with her since she's been gone. She laughs and reminds him that it's only been 4 days, but Bucky just says,
tell me anyways.
They keep chatting for almost 20 more minutes before her consistent little side yawns have Bucky taking pity on her.
Go back to bed, sleepyhead,
he tells her,
before you pass out where you stand.
Ugh, I'm losing it. That's hard.
You can keep that up as long as you did.
I am perfectly capable of sleeping standing up, she says, then yawns again. He doesn't know if that's really true, but Natasha's just about the one person he wouldn't be surprised was capable of that. So he doesn't dispute her. You owe me dinner as soon as you're back to make up for getting me up so early. I'll be lucky if I actually... Son of a bitch.
Oh god, that picture. He's so shiny.
Here I go to Valhalla, all shiny and chrome. Alright, where was I?
Hey, why don't you witness me, Homestar?
Oh, I'll witness you. You're so mediocre, strong man.
Oh, hell. That is not a pleasant image.
I'll be lucky if I can actually fall back to sleep properly now, she says, sounding only a little annoyed.
Sounds good,
Bucky replies with a chuckle.
Susie?
I'm thinking steak and a beer.
Great, now I want steak and a beer at 7:30 in the morning.
Bucky groans, his mouth suddenly watering. Natasha yawns again, and Bucky insists he let her go. Fine, fine, I'm going, she says. Love you.
Love you too, see you soon.
Okay, say hi to Steve for me. Hi, Steve. Bucky's stomach flops at the mere mention of his name. He'd also been eating about 1,400 glasses of Metamucil and prune juice. He'd actually been distracted from the whole thing until now. Keeping his voice even, he tells her he will. After saying goodbye and hanging up, Bucky keeps staring at the phone in his hand. He's very tempted to check his emails. Hey, Strongbad, do you want to check your emails? I think Strongbad went away. And see if Pierce has sent him anything new since the day before. He opens up the internet, but then hovers his thumb over the screen. Hesitating, still hesitating. He replies to Steve's earlier words in his head on a loop. He thinks about just how much he hates Pierce. Why would you hate Pierce? Pierce Brosnan was a great golden eye. And his job, and how much he has been putting up with in the 2 years he's been an assistant at the firm. Where was he looking? Damn it.
The foam.
This is getting really, really hard.
Yeah.
You can do it. It has to hurt your throat.
You'd be surprised.
But it's so enjoyable.
How much he has been putting up within the 2 years he's been an assistant at the firm. Where was he looking for this to get him anyways? Did he want to be a lawyer himself one day? Maybe he could be a little brother. He'd have to go to law school for that.
Go to law school to be little brother.
Truthfully, Bucky isn't overly sure what he really wants to do. The idea of not knowing always scared the crap out of him, so keeping himself distracted with his job for Pierce. Yeah, I like Pierce. Always kept that at bay. Logan, please, Weed. I need to go goggle.
He needs to go goggle.
I said goggle.
That he needs to get Google.
Goggle.
Goggle. You know what you do with the water in your mouth? You guys are fucking assholes.
What's it to you?
You hired us.
Yeah.
Since
we're not even
that
paid.
Fucking accident, Bucky's been so meticulous about every detail of his life. Like he could keep that in order. Keep in complete control. Things would get easier again. And eventually, he'd have everything he ever wanted. And then maybe he could forgive himself and go back to the way he used to be again. How's that been working out for you? A voice in his head asks. It sounds just like Steve. Not well, he replies under his breath. He knows he needs to start making changes, but he doesn't know where to start. And he's afraid to start because he knows he'd just insist he'd do it all alone.
That sentence had three starts in it.
I'm aware. And this isn't one of those things he can afford to do without support. Talk about a catch-22. He hesitates for a second longer and then lowers his thumb. Just a second longer and lowers his thumb, exiting the internet app. Instead, he goes to his text messages and composes one to Tony. He doesn't know for sure what he hopes to gain by doing it. Maybe he wants to know how it feels again to tell someone those words. I love Steve. It feels terrifying.
I'm so glad you do.
Feels terrifying,
honesty, who
but
doesn't?
Also freeing. Dangerous, but somehow comforting. And despite the fact that Tony technically figured out Bucky's feelings before himself, but for anyone else to bring it up, Bucky's never actually confirmed that he was right. So he does that. He texts Tony nothing but three words. I love Steve. 30 seconds later, his friend replies, about time, XOXOXO.
This really could be a special on the WB. I can't fucking believe it. It's so bad.
I'm just imagining this as being like, do you like me? YN? Maybe?
Yes, no, Pat Buchanan.
Yes, no, Toaster.
Pat Buchanan. Bucky isn't really sure what else he expected, given that Tony already had his suspicions. Still, maybe a little surprise would have been helpful. But helpful for what exactly? Bucky sighs again, like hell if he knows. He's just about as all over the place as he can get. He turns off his phone before he can say anything else and make the situation even more confusing than it already is. Then he goes back to staring out at the water. It's beautiful. This whole place is so beautiful. He remembers that it always felt like to come up here there as a kid, when the world was still simple, when he'd begin every day without second-guessing his every movement, how many times he had gotten out of bed, taken one look at the lake from out his window, and then ran straight for it and cannonballed into the water simply because he felt the urge to.
That sounds like he needs therapy pretty badly.
Yeah. He used to live with such a reckless abandon. He used to be so different. It's almost like he can hear his own footsteps, glancing over his shoulder and seeing the old him barreling down the dock before leaping right past him with a grin on his boyish face. Brow is knitting slightly. He rises to his feet and begins to hands to the hem of his shirt.
That's a hard still sentence staring to say. Ahead. Mm. Mm-hmm.
He pulls his shirt over his head, lets it drop to his side, and then gives the gent...
Whoop.
Man, Logan, do you have that emphysema?
Emphysema?
That thing, yes. I think it was a movie in 1974 starring Sean Connery.
I can't wait until Friday.
I know, right?
Yuck, yuck.
Wait, what is Friday?
Friday, we're doing...
The moment when I get to powerbomb Steve through a table.
No.
At a panel.
We're doing a panel at KatsuCon for terrible fanfiction.
He pulls the skirt... No, sorry, shirt over his head. Let's it drop to his side and then gives the gentle breeze a chance to brush his skin and get reacquainted with it. Biting his lip, he starts backing up. Slow it for... Can I stop hearing myself in an echo, please?
Don't forget to brush your skin, dear.
Biting his lip, he starts backing up, slow at first, and then a little bit quicker. A little quicker, and then a bit quicker than that. When he's almost three-quarters of the way back up the dock, he stops, gives himself only a second's pause, before forcing himself to grab onto the impulse he's feeling, and not talk his way out of it. He breaks into a full-on run, closer and closer to the edge, until his feet are no longer hitting wood, and he's diving straight into the water. The water engulfs him all around his head first, and then the rest of his body only a split second later. It's cool, refreshing, invigorating, sort of calming. Bucky lets his mind go blank. He's having a midlife crisis.
We're circling around again, Devin.
Alrighty. Damn it. There we go. Okay. He's in the water, and he just keeps going. Arms already moving and feet already kicking. He used to be a very strong swimmer in high school, and it's one of those things you never really forget, like riding a bike. He just starts swimming, heading further and further into the lake until he tires himself out. When the steam finally leaves him, he rolls himself onto his back and floats there for a while, first staring up at the sky, then closing his eyes and simply listening to the nature around him. Chirp, 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 chirp.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say moo.
Ribbit, ribbit. When was the last time he just enjoyed what birds sounded like? There are a few in the trees, and Bucky likes the way they're talking to each other.
Unfortunately, hearing the birds reminded him of his chronic tinnitus, and his ears were filled with constant pain.
If he could hear the incredible string of obscenities coming from those birds in their language, he would not be enjoying it nearly as much. He floats on the surface lazily, which gradually inches him closer and closer to the cottage again, thanks to the direction the tiny waves guide him in. The concept of time has floated away from him too, so Bucky doesn't know how long he's been out there by himself. By the time... Ugh, damn it. Blah, blah. By the time he finds himself close to the dock again, still early enough that the rest of his family doesn't seem to be up yet, all the same. He's back to circling his arms and kicking his legs to keep afloat. When he sees Steve emerge from the patio door, Bucky's heart rate picks up immediately. Fucking traitor! It can hardly be helped. Steve's one of those people who looks especially radiant when he first wakes up. His bedhead makes him look particularly boyish, despite his muscular build. Even though there are aspects to him that are most definitely masculine, Steve has a lot of things about his face that are delicate. Softer, like the hue of his hair, or the way he smiles, or the length of his
lashes. Alright, I'm issuing an ultimatum, everybody in the chat. Anybody who was here for season 2's long fic, take a drink for her. He was kind of effeminate.
It was almost like he was a girl.
Only the tiniest bit, it sounds like.
Because of his lashes.
Oh, that's sweet pain. That is delicious.
Sounds like what are you drinking?
Maple whiskey, what else?
Damn.
I have sparkling water.
That's interesting. That's good, too. Think better than one of the humans. He's the perfect balance between handsome and pretty, and the general features are only accentuated first thing in the morning. Admittedly, Bucky's also a little tense the second he sees his best friend because of what happened the night before. What did happen the night before? I honestly can't tell. Nothing has happened.
They kissed, but it was supposed to be a pretend, but he's like, yeah.
Yeah, let me suck your face off real quick. He knows his reaction to their kiss was weird, to say the least. Chances are Steve's going to try talking about it. The problem is, Bucky doesn't want to. He's more than willing to swallow it all down, I'll bet he is, and do his hardest to pretend he's perfectly fine if it means they can avoid that conversation. Hey, Buck, Steve says, coming down the dock. He's got a little smile on his face, sleepy as he still clearly is, and nothing seems out of the ordinary in his tone, so Bucky hopes, put, that Steve isn't upset with him. The blonde is stretching his arms and back while he walks, groaning under his breath and then staring out at the stretch of lake and trees, the same as Bucky had. It's gorgeous out, he then says. If only the rest of the day could just stay at this temperature, right?
What's with the, faux Australian accent?
I don't know, just felt right. Yeah, that'd be nice, Bucky replies, trying to stay casual. Staring up at Steve has suddenly made him remember that he is right off to Steve's left, so he sinks a little deeper into the water to try and mask his shoulder. What?
He's got, scars from some kind of accident. I don't know.
Car accident, oh. Yeah.
I'm ashamed that I was in a car accident!
Steve's still staring out the view. At the view. Damn it. And doesn't seem to notice. Sleep all right? Steve asks. I slept okay. You? Steve shrugs, making a non-decisive sound. Could have been better, but I still feel recharged, so that's good. Then he looks down to Bucky, and his smile gets bigger. Didn't know you were here when I woke up, so I went looking for you. Didn't expect to find you in here.
Oh.
Maybe you should swallow it all down.
Also, thank you, chat, for now giving me the wonderful idea if I ever want to prank somebody to put googly eyes on my dick.
If you can put one on each of your balls, that might be funnier.
Hey, David, it's your turn. Please unmute yourself.
Then it'd be like you'd have to lay upside down and be more like an elephant.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's a completely like an
elephant? What?
Well, in Japan, isn't a drawing of an elephant equivalent to a dick?
You are on page 67, sir.
No, right. Wait for everybody to sush.
To sush.
Sush.
Yes, we will
sush. Hey, sush, everybody. David's talking.
Neither did I, Bucky admits. It was sort of a spur-of-the-moment decision.
For a moment, neither says anything. Steve holds his eye contact and then averts it to the water next to Bucky. When he looks back, Bucky knows that Steve's doing the silent question he's asking. So Bucky just keeps looking back, letting his own silence give the answer. He doesn't want to tell him yes because of what it could imply, but he also doesn't want to say no because he just wants Steve around him so badly.
Oh my god, Steve, I think we might be actually getting to the sex.
Steve says nothing as he finally blinks and looks off, pulling his t-shirt from over his head, balling it up, and tossing it into where Bucky's own shirt is. He leaps off the edge of the dock and dives headfirst into the water in the same fashion as Bucky had, too. When his head emerges from the surface of the water, he had a big grin on his face and let out a surprised shout.
Whoa! Fuck! It's colder than I looked!
He exclaims, laughing. Bucky grins, splashing water at him with one hand.
Better guy, the hard part over with all at once, ain't it?
Steve swipes his bangs off his forehead and looks around all around him, sighing with content as he gets used to the temperature.
Good way to wake up, he says. Best way there is, actually. This place is gorgeous. Bucky, I wish we had more things just like this back home.
Yes.
Yeah. Bucky agrees quietly, looking out the landscape, too. Sometimes I wish I could just stay here forever.
I don't blame you, but you know, you should come up here more, if you miss it, like in the summers and stuff.
Bucky frowns to himself.
Yes,
he says. I suppose I can think about it. It's definitely quieter than New York. He can feel Steve watching him as he stares off a little frown, and then he's getting hit with a wave of water in his face. He looks to Steve in surprise, and the blonde is grinning at him, hands outstretched from the splashing.
Stop overthinking things, Steve encourages playfully. Come on, get your mind off of whatever you're stressing yourself about. Race with me.
Race with you?
Yeah, from there to there, Steve says. Whoever can do the most laps in a minute, the loser has to make the other breakfast.
Have fun cooking for me then, Rogers.
Bucky says, spouting a small smirk as he swims over so he's by Steve's side. They both stare ahead, their bodies now alert and getting into competitive mode. I don't know who says this, so I'm going to assume it's Bucky.
They're in a college dorm or a lakeside cottage?
Lakeside college dorm.
Oh, yeah.
I like my bacon extra crispy.
I'll have my eggs over easy, the way the queen eats them.
Long live and whatnot.
One. Bucky mutters. Two sugars in my coffee, please. I'll have a glass of that delicious orange juice you've got in the fridge. Two.
They both pause, and Bucky quits as quickly.
Three.
And they're off.
It's hard to keep track of how Steve's doing just because of Bucky's vision is substantially narrowed and only be able to see his own path. All he can do is move his fastest, try not to lose his hair and then get in the eyes. And then go crashing headfirst into any rocks around the perimeters. He also realizes that neither of them really set any way for them to know actually when a full minute passes. So they just keep going, sometimes passing each other, sometimes being side by side in perfect tandem.
Man, it's your turn.
All right. It's probably about 3 minutes later when Bucky exerts himself to the point of needing to catch his breath. He slows down in front of the dock so he can reach up with his right hand and hold onto it, panting softly. Steve comes to join him, pretty much in the same condition Bucky's in. Steve holds onto the edge of the dock with his left hand, and it isn't until Bucky's vision gets a little less starry around the corners that he realizes that he and Steve are actually a lot closer than he'd expected. Steve's got a little open-mouth smile as they continue to heave heavy breaths. Bucky tries to keep calm. I don't actually know who won that, he says with a breathy chuckle. Yeah, me neither, Steve laughs. I should have thought that one out a bit more. Then he holds Bucky's gaze for a few moments and says, a little softer, let's just say that you won. Bucky swallows hard. He tries to turn it into a joke. You can't give me the victory if it might have already been mine, Rogers. Steve just replies back, just as sincerely. God, this wording is so heavy. Just weird. I was going to cook for you regardless of who won anyways. You don't have to do that. I want to. Bucky realizes Steve's come a bit closer, and impulsively, he wants to find a way to back out and get the hell out of the water. But he's frozen where he is, like Steve's body is a fucking magnet, and Bucky...
If it were a fucking Bucky magnet, there would be sex all around the story!
Look out, Bucky, or else you'll get me with you and your magnetizing ray from my buns of steel.
After a bit more silence, he watches Steve's gaze slowly move down his face and over to Bucky's left shoulder. Within the water, Bucky suddenly jolts when he realizes that Steve is trailing his hand ever so gently up the length of that arm.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't exactly shy away from the touch, but he does try to shrink out of it when Steve-O's hand emerges from the surface, and he,
oh,
finishes,
no.
The he finishes the pathway his fingers were on, touching Bucky's shoulder lightly. Bucky's face is slightly pinched up, but he can't stop staring at Steve-O's face. There's so much sadness and concern in his eyes as he stares at Bucky's shoulder, and something else is there that only reminds Bucky of Natasha's words from earlier. Are we going to talk about last night? Steve finally asks.
I mean, you couldn't even get it up. What was with that crap?
Steve finally asks, still watching where the tips of his fingers are gently resting on Bucky's shoulder. Then he meets Bucky's eyes again.
Why has there been so much concern over a shoulder?
It's a heavily scarred shoulder.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I just want to forget that happened, Bucky admits. His voice is hoarser and meeker than he means for it to be. How can it be hoarser and meeker at the same time? That doesn't work. The thing
very
is...
Very quietly raspy.
He's an old...
God, he sounds like Harvey 130 Fiestine. 130
years old fart. Oh, God.
Aren't these supposed to be, like, big, beefy, imposing men? They're superheroes of some sort. Yeah. So why do they sound like such fucking wimps?
Oh.
Because they don't have powers. Universe.
Yeah.
That's hi, everybody. Stupid. My name's Bucky. You might remember me from such movies such as Independence Day and Mrs. Doubtfire.
Over Gottfried?
No!
The thing is...
Big Head?
I don't, Steve says. Bucky didn't think he could freeze anymore until he suddenly feels his friend reach that hand on his left shoulder up to tuck a strand of Bucky's hair behind his ear.
And then he touched his penis.
Yay! Yep.
There are a million ways Bucky can interpret that action, but in his stubborn state, he still doesn't let himself believe that it could possibly mean that. He tries to tell himself that Steve's actions are being done out of pity, that this is all just leading up to Steve-O trying to let him down as painlessly as he possibly can.
All right, now it's my turn. There's something I need to tell you, okay? Steve asks, moving in closer still. Now Bucky backs up a bit. His eyes are pleading, but he's forcing the rest of himself to be as controlled as possible. Too bad his IBS kicked in. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, you're not. You totally are not.
He replies, please don't. Whatever you're about to say, don't. I want to forget that happened. I was a little overwhelmed last night with everything going on. I overreacted, but I'm fine now. Okay? I'm fine.
Don't die, Steve-O.
I'm not, but Harvey Fierstein living vicariously through me might. Bucky, Steve says, now frowning and still trying to come towards him. Bucky shakes his head and gives Steve a weak smile. Steve, please. I'm asking you not to. I know what you're gonna say, so you don't need to say it. I just don't want things to change between us, okay? Please, I can't do this right now. I need you in my life, okay? Please, just forget about what happened last night. Now, he's at the ladder, and he turns away and climbs straight up. The first thing he goes for is his shirt. Steve's out of the water by the time he's pulling it down his stomach. Arms now covered once again. The shirt instantly starts soaking and sticking to him, but it'll have to do until he can grab a towel. Steve's frowning to himself, but there's no anger or annoyance in his eyes. He just leans down and picks up Bucky's things for him before holding them out for Bucky to take.
I want to talk about it,
Steve says again, sounding disappointed, but I'm not going to force you into anything either. After Bucky... Oh, sorry. After Bucky takes his things hesitantly, Steve picks up his own shirt and then gives him a tiny half-smile, like in all of those DreamWorks movies. It doesn't meet his eyes, his eyes that Bucky realizes look just on the better side of sad now.
I'll head in and start on breakfast,
the blonde offers, walking past Bucky and towards the cottage. Bucky keeps staring ahead, eyes downward. His brows are creased. He's frowning, and when he turns towards Steve to offer back,
"You don't have to. I can help if you..."
Steve just answers with his back to him,
"It's all right, Buck. I've got it."
It's only when he steps off the dock that Steve suddenly stops, seems to hesitate, and then looks to Bucky from over his shoulder.
"For the record, there's not a damn thing on this earth that would ever make me walk out of your life."
Aww.
Gay!
I don't think even Dawson's Creek was this sappy.
He tells him, sighing, he adds quietly, "I wish you'd believe that." And Bucky almost misses it. He would reply, but one, Steve's already halfway up the little grassy hill. Grassy knoll. Grassy knoll! JFK, look out!
Second. I was actually thinking the same thing.
Secondly, Bucky wouldn't have known what to say anyways. Throughout the rest of the day, Bucky's being a total coward and he knows it. His family winds up getting up one by one while Steve is making breakfast. By the time Bucky heads back downstairs from the shower he'd chosen to take, there's enough food on the table to properly feed every mouth in the place. On the one hand, that makes Bucky feel a little disappointed, because if it had just been for the two of them, it might have felt like something along the lines of a date. Stupid thought. Stupid thought process.
What, you want to fuck or something?
As that had been. At the same time, it's also a relief, because with everyone else around now, Steve wouldn't dare to bring up their earlier conversation again, even if he wanted to. I'll take that bet! And Bucky knows he wants to. As the morning turns into the afternoon, he can tell by the way Steve will glance over to him when no one else is looking. But then Steve's always turning that lost little look into a tight smile, forcing himself not to talk about it and try, for Bucky's sake, to now also pretend that the whole matter can simply be forgotten about. Bucky feels like an asshole.
You should!
Good!
But selfishly, he just can't risk opening that door. Will you take what's behind door number one? Or what's in the mystery box?
No, puppy, you're not getting my...
The box!
Logan, it's your turn.
Mystery box.
It is indeed hot as hell. So that makes for a lazy day. Annie had mentioned that they could all go into town to pick up a few extra groceries, but that plan gets abandoned pretty quickly. They all agree that they can have hot dogs for dinner and go to the grocery store the following day.
Exciting!
Instead, they while away most of the afternoon between swimming, watching movies, and doing their own thing. At one point, before dinner time, Rebecca decides she's going to go for her daily jog, and Steve offers to join her. While they're gone, Mark invites Bucky out into their little boat to try and do a bit of fishing. Bucky isn't particularly a fan of fishing itself, but it's something he and his dad did a lot of while he was growing up, which sort of makes it their thing, mostly. Oh, Bucky just smokes while he keeps the rod in one hand and gives up on waiting for anything to bite. Mark always does a lot better than him, somehow, and manages to reel in two fish within the first 20 minutes. They're tiny, though, not big enough to keep and cook. It used to be a tradition between them that if anything got hooked that was too small to keep, Bucky got to be the one to carefully free them and then toss them back into the water. He and Mark haven't fished together in well over 6 years, and yet both times he dangles the fish hook in front of Bucky so he can do the honors. Something about that makes Bucky almost want to cry.
What?
Bitch. What a
Somebody
bitch.
Please post Dawson crying!
They make casual chit-chat, but don't talk about anything with particular weight. Bucky knows they're both tiptoeing around a lot of topics, which is why he's surprised when, about a half hour later, Mark lights up a Colt. Lights up a Colt?
What?
Yeah.
Casts his line out into the water and then says, "You know that your mom's only trying to look out for you when she gets worried, right?"
Maybe it's like a
They
cigar.
Both keep their eyes on the water, because eye contact would make them both uncomfortable right now. Bucky's already a little guarded when he replies, "Yeah, I know. I know sometimes she can come across a little overbearing, but it's okay, Dad. I know," Bucky mutters. His defense mechanism is kicking in.
Ah, his missiles are about to launch!
He just wants to shut this conversation down at the source. That's what he knows his father used to do. His father's used to. And it usually works. This time, though, his dad just continues. "Look, no one in this boat is going to tell you that you have to talk about anything."
Or die.
Die. We're dying, Logan. Thank you, lack of sense. There might be sex in this story, but I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Beautiful.
Yep. Pretty much how I feel about this this whole fic. And Laza wants my crackers.
"Look, no one in this boat is going to tell you that you have to talk about anything. If you want to keep whatever's going on bottled up inside, that's your decision. You're a grown man. But don't look at me and tell me that there's nothing going on, because we both know that's bullshit. You don't have to talk to me about it if you're not ready, but respect me enough to at least be honest about it." Bucky's cheeks burn, like when he was a kid and he'd been caught doing something he wasn't supposed to. Silence between them is uncomfortable this time. "Yes, quietly," Bucky mumbles. "Things have been stressful as fuck. Everything feels like it's either one big mess or complicated at least. But no, I don't want to talk about it. As long as you're aware that one day you're going to have to," his father replies, reeling his line back in and then putting the rod down. "But if you don't want to right now, I can't force you. Hope you just know, though, that that's why we worry about you. Because
well, wait, you can feel tell. Like an asshole.
Well, he is an asshole.
Yes.
But
well, because they're also thoroughly unlikable, so.
As much as you may try to hide it." Turning, he sits opposite Bucky and lazily burns through his Colt. So Bucky lights up another cigarette and joins him.
We'll circle around one more time because we breezed through that, Devin.
Okay, one moment.
One.
One.
Oh, well, just for that, I'm going to
drag it out. It's the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
"You ever talk to Steve about that stuff?" he asks. Bucky shakes his head. "No, he wants to know. I can see how much he wishes I'd open up to him, but I can't. It's been 6 years, James. You think I don't know that?" Bucky snaps, sighing. He apologizes quickly and then says, "Everyone handles things differently. And everyone needs help sometimes, too," Mark says. "Even if you don't want it, you have an entire support system here who loves you. Your mom, myself, Rebecca, and the kids. Steve, I know I haven't really said anything to you about the whole thing, but you have to at least... you have to have least caught on that I obviously approve. The boy seems to worship the ground you walk on, and a love like that doesn't land on your doorstep every day. Maybe you won't be ready today. Hell, maybe you won't be ready in a year, but you have to accept someday that you deserve happiness, same as everyone else. And when that day comes, we'll all still be here to help you. We're your family. We're not going anywhere." He pauses, lets out a loud breath, and then awkwardly finishes, "Okay, I'm done. Consider that your pep talk for the last 6 years. Come back to me in another 6, and hopefully I'll have some new material." Bucky huffs out a surprised, weak laugh, brows shooting up, not knowing how to react to that. He can't remember the last time his dad actually sat his butt down and gave it to him straight like this.
Wait a minute, chances I came are, back at his dad butt down and gave it to him straight. What did I miss?
Oh yeah, he drops his ass right on his balls.
Finally some action!
You're terrible, Steve-O. Not only, like, do you come back and interrupt the story, but also, you first laugh because you wanted to laugh at our dog, who is now leaning, like, she's laying down and heavily sighing. She looks so sad.
Your dog is extremely off balance and needs more support beams and guy wires.
No, she has an inner ear infection. Don't laugh.
No, it's funny.
Chances are it was just as uncomfortable for him as it was for Bucky to hear it, but he recognizes that it needed to be said. "Thank you," Bucky says slowly. "I know you guys are there for me, and I'm sorry I've been off since I moved away. I just..." Mark sees his struggle to continue and thankfully lifts a hand, shaking his head. "It's fine, kiddo. That wasn't some sort of ploy to try and guilt you into talking about it. You don't have to explain yourself," Bucky says, stays quiet, and... So Mark puts out his mini cigar. Now we know what it is, finally. Now we know what a cult is. In the ashtray they brought with them, I suggest they head back to start dinner. If you're in a boat fishing, why do you need an ashtray?
So you don't burn the boat.
Put the ashes in the water and burn the little fishies.
It's not going to burn anybody. Mark sees his struggle to continue, and thankfully... Mark thinks about it and then looks at his son. Honestly, I think he has no intention of going anywhere, he answers sincerely. But the thing is, kiddo, relationships are give and... Already had him around for 5 years. That's a long time to put yourself out there for someone who won't give back. You deserve to have someone who's willing to wait as long as it takes and love you for every side of you there is to show. Good and bad. But what if he deserves to? Does he deserve to constantly give and wait and never get anything in return just because you know he won't walk away?
And by the way, ashtray because butches.
Ashtray because butches.
Butches?
Budgies.
No, butches. It's...
Butches.
You know, you don't smoke the entirety of the freaking cigarette. There's always this part of the cigar. Yeah.
Butches.
You're
well, right. Not a cigar or a cigarette.
Sir Brushfire?
Are you kidding me? I fucking smoked the entire cigarette. You gotta smoke the filter too. That's the best
part. Yeah, but we're talking a cigar.
You have to eat the filter.
A cigarillo.
Yeah,
those burn up entirely.
That's where all the cigarettes.
Back in my day, we would smoke the entire cigarette, and anything we didn't smoke, our parents made us eat.
It's asked rhetorically, and yet it's a genuine question. All the same, Bucky hates how right his dad is, how twisted it suddenly makes his stomach feel. He'd never even realized that, though unintentionally, he'd been taking advantage of Steve's selflessness over the years, because he had been doing that. He always trusted that Steve would never walk away from their friendship.
I'm walking away.
What a shitty person.
Yeah, he is kind of like a manipulative asshole, isn't he?
Tiny.
No, because he didn't fucking do anything. That doesn't make people manipulative.
No, it's his own fucking insecurities.
He's not manipulative. It's just, like, shitty. He's fucking shitty.
He's a fucking dumbass, but he's not fucking manipulative.
Do-do-do-do-do, shitty.
Jerk dumbass.
I would think his father, being from the generation he would be from, would not be this concerned over his son's homosexual relationships. Maybe a little less supportive, possibly? Just being realistic here.
Son, do you like it when you have sex with men?
Are you one of them butt pirates?
Oh, God. What?
All I'm saying is that you like to pirate butts. You know, the back piece of a gun.
Reed.
That's pretty cool.
Reed!
Okay. Bucky, much as he always feared Steve eventually would, and so... Bucky could get away with never fully opening up. If anyone had earned Bucky's complete double trust, Steve certainly had over the years. Fuck.
His family certainly had it, too.
Maybe Tasha was right. Maybe Bucky needs to start changing the way he's been doing things. You can only repeat wrong choices so many times before you reach a point where you have to admit that you're causing yourself more harm than good. No, you don't.
This will only be the next to last 20-piece KFC I'm going to get for myself. I swear.
Hey, man. I'm going to just substitute this 20-piece for 20 double downs. That's pretty okay.
Oh, 20 double downs, a.k.a. the highway to hell.
Are those the ones that have a slab of chicken instead of a bun?
Yes.
Or two slabs of chicken instead of a bun?
It's the sandwich we used to make as kids using chicken nuggets and, like, American cheese.
I never did that. I just dipped them in mashed potatoes like a normal human being.
Oh, mashed potato beans. What?
It's not a double entendre, it's literally a mashed potato.
Hoagies and grinders, cool. Hoagies and grinders.
Navy beans, navy beans, navy beans, navy beans.
I like
okay. That. You have to cause you some more than good. Bucky doesn't know how to face everything he's been running away from. He just knows that he can't run anymore. Oh my god, they wrote this guy like fucking Shinji from Evangelion.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't, he finally says, eyes feeling wet. He looks up at Mark and admits, I really love him, Dad. I don't think he knows just how much.
Son, from what I've seen, you're no longer my son.
For him to say that.
I think he does. I think maybe you're the one who won't let yourself see just how much that boy cares.
Is it pathetic if I say I'm afraid of that possibility because I don't think I could handle it if you wound up leaving me?
Yes. It's very
I'm embarrassed that my grandkids are going to be butt babies.
Bucky asks, chuckling dryly before sniffling and swiping at his eyes.
Mark smiles sympathetically. They start to head back towards the cottage.
I think love's a pretty terrifying thing, he answers. First time I told your mama I loved her, I threw up on her dress. Probably shouldn't have had 15 vodka sandwiches.
Vodka sandwiches?
The new K, what yes. is it? The alcohol store, the ABC store, shouldn't have had one of them ABC double downs.
It's a sandwich made of cigarettes with vodka in the middle, like vodka jelly.
This is a metaphor for what my life has become because of the show.
Mark smiles sympathetically. Throw up on your mom. Thought for sure she was going to smack me and tell me never to call her again. You did not, Bucky says slowly, now grinning. He's never heard this story before.
Yeah, I did, Mark chuckles back. You know what she did? She laughed. Not at me, just laughed. Really stung that day.
Laughed at what her life had become.
Never really came back from that one. All I can hear when I close my eyes, her laughter.
She's in the room next to you!
It does sound like she's dead.
Look, it doesn't matter that she is watching Saturday Night Live. She was still laughing. It was the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. Given the circumstances, then she tried to help me calm down before taking her dress right off and getting somewhere, something clean to wear. Well, I mean, maybe not right away, but,
All right, Dad, still your son sitting right here. You didn't squeeze me through your penis 26 years ago. I really don't need to hear that.
Mark continues, is that I was afraid of letting myself love your mom, too, at first. Because I had myself convinced that a girl that incredible could never love a loser like me. I mean, I thought your mother was just about the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I was raised in Soviet Russia where we didn't have sliced bread.
Right, we had bread lines and vodka lines.
They just kind of gave you a giant slab of bread.
But then I went and threw up on her, and that was the very first thing she told me once I'd calmed down was, I love you too.
Too bad she was looking directly at the vomit.
She put up with me ever since, and I with her. We love each other all the time, if you catch my meaning. But not just when we're on our best behavior, because that's what real love is about. I'm sure there are things about Steve that drive you up the wall, like when he rams you up the butt against a wall. That's what y'all guys do, right?
Keep going!
That doesn't make you any less crazy about him, right?
No.
Bucky admits softly.
And, man, it's your turn.
Well, that's my point. They pull into the little shed around the corner from their cottage where Mark stores the boat, and Bucky hops out to help him get it inside. If Steve's been interested since the first time he met you and stuck around all this time, even after getting to know your flaws, then it's obvious that there isn't a single part of you that he doesn't accept, Mark continues. Bucky can tell he's choosing his words deliberately. He clasps... he clasps a hand on Bucky's shoulder again and says, trust that he won't be any less crazy about you whenever you decide to open up to him. Bucky just nods. It's easier than admitting to his father that it's not really Steve he's having a hard time trusting, but himself. Liquid courage isn't just a myth. Later that evening, after Amy's in bed and Ben's inside playing video games, Bucky passes the evening in front of the fire. He's got Steve to his left, Becca to his right, and his parents joining them as well.
Interesting orgy.
Yes. They chat. Mostly, they reminisce about happy memories, so Bucky doesn't have to mind taking part in that conversation, while they make s'mores and watch the sun finish going down. Steve and Bucky casually sip their way through some of the beer they'd brought with them. Even Rebecca is allowed to have just one, since she's under supervision and all she'll be doing is heading to bed afterwards anyways. Around midnight, Rebecca decides to turn in and hang out on her laptop in her room until bed. An hour later, and Bucky's parents say their goodnights in turn too. Wow. They decide to stay outside and enjoy the crackling of the fire, working through another couple of beers. Bucky's got a definite buzz going on. His body feels light, and his mind, albeit a bit calmer.
His dong, Turchit.
Steve's one of those jolly drinkers, so his own tipsy state has him smiling and laughing effortlessly, clearly no longer dwelling on the heavy air felt between them throughout the day. They continue shooting the shit with Bucky telling him a few funny stories from his childhood, and then Steve offering up some in return. Here and there, Steve will give him one of those warm smiles, and Bucky will make himself return it before looking away. Other times, it's all he can do to stop himself from staring while Steve talks. "What?" Steve will sometimes ask with a chuckle. "Nothing," Bucky always mumbles back, taking another sip from his bottle and averting his eyes quickly. Then out of nowhere, they've fallen into silence, and Bucky realizes now's his chance. Easier said than done, though. It takes him almost 5 whole minutes, heart racing and anxiety making him feel like he's about to fall into a panic attack,
to realize that he's having a heart attack.
Oh, God.
The necklace button, press it!
To suddenly clear his throat and force himself to say, "Did I ever tell you that Bex and I are only half-siblings?" Steve looks to him with interest, raising an eyebrow. He shakes his head. "No, you didn't," he replies slowly, tone already gentle. He seems to pick up right away that whatever Bucky's about to tell him is going to be difficult to get out. Bucky nods, staring ahead at the flames. Absent-mindedly playing with the beer bottle in his hand, he explains, "Yeah, well, we are. Got the same mom, but different dads. Neither of us have ever met our dads. I was 8 when our parents adopted us, but Rebecca was only 1, so she never really knew our birth mother. I didn't really, either. I didn't either, really. I think out of those 8 years, I only spent maybe 2 of them technically with her."
Alright, now it's my turn. Okay, he can see that Steve doesn't understand what he means, so he clarifies. "Our birth mom was a junkie. Heroin, I think. Maybe it was meth. I don't know. Pampers. Peanut butter. I have no idea. I'd be put in and out of foster homes whenever she fell off the wagon again or got herself in trouble with the law." When he takes a small pause, pulling out his pack of smokes and lighting one up. "Wasn't like I had a bad life in foster care, didn't get hurt or abused or any of that shit. It wasn't like that. Actually, I think I sort of preferred it there because my birth mom only ever felt like a stranger to me, you know?" Steve still got his beer bottle in his hand, but he's not drinking from it anymore. He's disgusted at the story. Sorry. He turns himself a bit to face Bucky better, but no matter how intently Bucky feels Steve's gaze on him, he can't bring himself to meet it just yet. He's just thankful that his tone is still even, that he isn't feeling any onset of emotions threatening to take him down. "Eventually, she got herself pregnant again and had my sister. Then, like, fuck, how long was it? Maybe a little before Becca's first birthday, Children's Services shows up at her door and I'm being led to my room to pack up my suitcase. I guess my birth mother was using again and was getting busted for whoring herself out for drugs." Wow, this sounds like a PBS special. Jeez.
Yeah.
"Seriously, quit with the heavy shit, author. She was so tweaked out that she didn't even seem to understand that they were taking us away from her for good that time. She didn't put up a fight or nothing, just sort of stood there. Watched. Jesus!" Steve whispers under his breath. Bucky shakes his head and waves half-heartedly with one hand. "Nah, it wasn't like that. I understood when I got older that she was high at the time. But even at that age, it didn't really bug me. I was actually happy we were getting out of there, I think. Anyways, so not even a few weeks into the system and we got a... adopted by the Proctors. Looking back on it, I got lucky. Apparently a lot of siblings can get separated, especially if one's a baby and one's older. Older kids, it's harder to find homes for them, you know? But Mom and Dad never even seemed to consider wanting one of us without the older. Older. This is the hard part. Bucky takes another small break, gathering up the nerve. He's already come this far, so it'd be stupid to back out now. His hand holding the bottle has started shaking. When he finally speaks, his voice is shaking too, but he fights as hard as he can to keep it calm. Looking to Steve, he says, "In order for the rest of this to make sense, I need you to understand how I used to be growing up, what I was like." "Okay," Steve says gently, holding his stare. Bucky gets a strange smile then. It's wobbly and tight. Not a happy smile. Oh, it's like it's somebody tweaking Mario's face at the start of Mario 64. But a pained one. Tears fill Mario's eyes, but don't fall. And Bucky doesn't
only
give
into... Only dreams now.
What?
Only dreams now.
Only dreams now. And Bucky doesn't give in to the urge to cry them out. I used to be like you. He answers simply, regret so palpable in his voice. Just like you, I was. Not like this at all. All right, I can't do that anymore. It hurts my throat.
He's like Johnny Five.
Johnny Five is alive!
Pretty much.
Not like this at all. I was happy, popular. I laughed a lot and took risks and dated and did all the things I don't do anymore. People used to... He swallows the lump in his throat. Call me charming. I wasn't so uptight, I guess. It took a lot to get me sweating. And closing us out is Logan.
What happened? Steve asks when Bucky goes quiet again. He asks like he doesn't know if he should be asking at all. And also like he's almost worried about what Bucky's going to tell him. Bucky chuckles ruefully. I'm getting to that. Don't worry, he mutters, going back to staring into the fire. So anyways, Becca knew pretty young that we were adopted. Mom and Dad never wanted to keep that from her. So it was just a fact in our lives that they integrated into what they taught her when they felt she was old enough to start understanding. We knew they loved us, and I mean, I knew our birth mother from 8 years without ever forming no bonds with her or knowing her. Rebecca didn't even have any memories of her, so there was even less to miss. She never grew up feeling like something was missing. And she never really cared that we were adopted. And I mean, neither did I. I think we both always felt like the Proctors were meant to be our parents. So a few weeks before my 18th birthday, a letter comes in the mail with my name on it. He finds himself having to clear his throat again. Anyways, it was from my blood grandmother, I guess. Turned out my birth mother had OD'd. And I was being told that her funeral would be, and I didn't know if I'd go at first. I knew my parents didn't want me to go, but they also weren't going to tell me what to do. So I wound up going. There was like 5 people there, including me, he remembers. I felt like I didn't even know why I was there. I just remember thinking I was sad. I never knew what exactly had happened to make her life turn out like that. But she gave birth to me, and I was at her funeral. And it was like I was attending the funeral of nothing but a complete stranger. Her mom, my grandmother, she recognized me, I guess. I suppose I looked a bit like her. Made sense. She tried to come talk to me, but there wasn't nothing I wanted to say. I left pretty much right after it was over. Then, yeah, I guess I didn't know how to feel. That's when I started drinking.
Oh, here we go.
Steve reaches over and threads the fingers of his right hand with Bucky's left. Bucky gives their hands a tiny, mournful smile before looking away again.
Of course, you know, stories about tragic backstory always get the ladies / men.
I don't really know what exactly it was that got me feeling weird like after that. I'd never really experienced death before, so it could have been that. It's not like I was suddenly questioning my worth or dwelling on my life before my mom and dad adopted me. I just felt lost. Didn't feel like going out for a while. I'd just stay home. Found where my dad stashed the keys to the liquor cabinet. They were never big drinkers, but we had stuff in there from over the years, from events and shit. So I'd take that and wait till everyone was asleep and then drink until I fell asleep. I'd act normal in front of them, right? So they didn't know what was going on. Anyways, day after my 18th birthday, it was Friday, and I was getting shit-faced by myself in my room again. Both my parents were at work, and it was my job to go pick up Becca from her lesson. She had swimming lessons over at the Y at the time, and I... He grits his teeth as shame floods over him. His breathing is rougher.
It was when I rear-ended a school bus.
Sorry, it's my phone.
Tears prickling the corners of his eyes again. That's where we stop, because I hate this. It's terrible.
What? That's a perfect place to stop. You don't know what happens. Is Devin right that he rear-ends a bus?
I sure hope so. I hope he drives his car straight through the wall of the YMCA into the pool and drowns. And this is all just like a fever dream while he's dying.
And all the judges hold up their cards and it's just... fives, except for the French judge, which is a 1.
No, it's a 2.5.
2.5. Of course, you have to have the decimals in there. Well, Thank you, everybody, for sticking through this. I believe we do get Sex Nest next week.
My God.
Sex week?
The anticipation is all worth it.
Sex week?
I do very much believe it's sex next week, which is also good because next week is Magfest.
Yay!
That's a deadly combination.
Oh, what? Lord.
Anyways, thank you to Mana and Devin for joining us as our guests. Really appreciate you guys coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you to all co-hosts and referee for putting up with me and not leaving me. You are the Steve to my Bucky. They've all left.
Yeah. And you made Laza wine.
And we'll catch you all next week. Hope you all have a great week. Safe weekend. Enjoy President's Day.
I don't even get to because I work that day.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.